Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
And that's so important that you brought that up. You don't want to get emotional when you are communicating by email, because attorneys and judges do look at what you're saying. So you want to avoid curse words and anything that can be misinterpreted as you being crazy.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Well, welcome, Kim, and I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. You've been incredible. You've been doing such incredible things for this narcissist community.
Thank you. It was an honor when I got the invitation to join you today.
Yeah.
Because I saw your background and you're also doing amazing things. So thank you for setting this up because people really need this information.
Okay. So Kim, you and I talked about all of this beforehand. And one of the things that we agreed would be a really fantastic topic is to talk about the sneaky things that narcissists do in divorce.
Yes.
And before we even got on camera here, we were like, and they do this, and oh, also, and they do that. And it's like, oh, we'll have no problem filling an entire episode talking about the sneaky things that they do in divorce. So, you know, some of the things the things that you would expect, you know, like lying and manipulating and scheming, things like that. I mean, the thing is that they're the same people in divorce. They're just like on steroids because they go into full on attack mode.
They do.
You know, they're always in sort of survival mode, but during divorce, it's full on attack mode. Even if the words coming out of their mouth are, let's settle this amicably. We don't need lawyers. There's no need to fight. You know, they'll say that stuff as they're behind your back, lining up their flying monkeys.
Yes.
And hiding money.
Yes. And I have personal experience with all of that, as well as, you know, all the different coaching clients I've worked with over the years. And I'm so glad you're bringing that up because you should never trust them when the two of you are alone and they're telling you, as you said, we don't need attorneys. Let's just do this pro se. We'll come up with our own agreement. I've seen too many people being destroyed and devastated by doing those things.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because when I had a conversation with Dr. Romani about, you know, who says they want to fight or don't want to fight it, you know, when the divorce starts. And I told her that every single person who comes through the doors of my office, almost 100%, I haven't actually polled it, but I could tell you it's pretty close to 100%, says, I don't want to fight. I just want this to be amicable. I don't want to spend a lot of money on attorney's fees. Nobody wants to spend lots of money on attorney's fees. And what surprised her was that even the narcissist says that. And I said, of course they do, because first of all, they think that they still have full control over their target and they're going to be able to just jam whatever agreement down their throat that they think that they're going to. Or they're just trying to paint a picture, you know, that they're the good person, they're the kind person, they're the the one with that wears the white hat. The other person is crazy. The other person, maybe even I'll say the other person's a narcissist, or they might say the other person's an alcoholic or whatever it is that they want to say about them. And so while they're behind even their own attorney's back doing sneaky things, you know, lining up their flying monkeys, manipulating emails, manipulating. I mean, I've had really bad narcissists, malignant ones, who will actually break into people's emails. Like they figure out how to break into their computer through their server somehow. Like, I don't even know. This is way beyond my technology knowledge, but like they'll actually, I've had clients say that emails that were in their inbox somehow got erased.
That does happen. And actually that happened to me when I was going through my divorce, because my ex and his sister at the time were really good friends with a private investigator, and that PI did not mind doing illegal things. So they planted spyware remotely on my devices and were able to get into my emails and would even use my phone as a microphone and listen in on my private conversations. I don't think that's as easy as it used to be. And I used to have an Android. I don't think it's as easy with iPhone. But yes, all of that happened to me. So I'm very familiar with that.
That's interesting. I never heard anyone say it's easier to break into phone conversations with an Android than an iPhone.
Well, this has been 10 years ago, so a lot's changed since then.
Oh, isn't that interesting, though? So, you know, they will lie. They will manipulate. Everything you say or do, you can just expect will be used against you. Even if it's something mild, but they'll also take pieces of text messages and manipulate them so that it looks like you said something that you didn't, or didn't respond to something. I mean, they're not above, you know, manipulating the evidence.
Right. And I think it's important for people to accept and understand that if the narcissist sends you an email and you don't respond, a lot of times that can be interpreted as agreement.
Yeah, I mean, the way I suggest people handle that is, you know, if they send an email, and a lot of times they're emails, because as you're pulling away, they're going to get more and more out of control. So they'll send long diatribes of emails or texts that are perfectly curated and carefully designed to inflame you, to upset you, to trigger you. You know, they'll say things like, "You're a horrible mother, you ignore our children." Meanwhile, the kids are sitting right in front of your face, and you just took them to the dentist, and you were just helping them with homework, and you're thinking, how can you say that? I'm like with them all the time. I help out at the school. I'm always with them. How can you say that? I'm a terrible mother and I ignore them. And so that's the exact kind of thing that like will inflame you and make you want to defend yourself, because you know it's just such a patent lie. And so they say things like that to get you to respond. But you know, somewhere in that diatribe of total BS might be one line of something that you definitely need to respond to, like, and what time do you want to pick up the kids on Wednesday or something? And, you know, or what time should I pick up Johnny on Wednesday? And so what I suggest people do is they respond by saying something like, "Thank you for your email. I deny all of your allegations and you can pick up Johnny at 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right. And that's so important that you brought that up. You don't want to get emotional when you are communicating by email, because attorneys and judges do look at what you're saying. So you want to avoid curse words and anything that can be misinterpreted as you being crazy. So you want to be as professional as you possibly can. If there are children involved, I would recommend using a parenting software like Our Family Wizard or something along those lines. I think Parent Talk or something is another one, or
Talking yeah. Parents is another one. Fair is another one. But, you know, and that's perfect, exact advice, perfect advice.
Coming up, more on part one of Sneaky Things Narcissists Do in Divorce with guest Kim Saeed.
It bugs the crap out of her, of course, but that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Not everyone needs full representation by an attorney on retainer. In fact, sometimes lawyering up can make things worse. At Hello Divorce, you get the best of all worlds. You get technology and legal professionals. You get some help along the way, and you get to do the parts yourself that you want to do yourself. Just $99 a month, cancel at any time. You can use their divorce navigator, think TurboTax for divorce, to prepare all of your legal forms. Right now, it's available in California, but it will be expanding soon to other states. Sign up free and get a 15-minute free intro call and access to loads of curated resources, tools, and worksheets designed to make the divorce process affordable, transparent, empowering, and successful. Use the code HELLO50 to get $50 off toward anything you'd like. Just go to HelloDivorce.com to get started today. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can learn more about dealing with narcissists in divorce, such as how to beat a narcissist in court.
Dealing with narcissists, if you have to go to court, is no fun. You're in for the fight of your life.
Now we return to today's show.
When you're responding to an email like that that's designed to manipulate you into responding in a certain way, and you respond back, you know, without adding anything, you know, don't overshare, don't respond, don't defend yourself, all of that. It helps in a couple of ways. One is with your own toxicity and dealing with them and keeping them, you know, their boundaries in place and brief conversation with them. But also, as you said, and this is something that the people who follow me regularly know that I say all the time, which is every text, every email, anything you put your hand to in writing is a potential trial exhibit. And just think about it as a potential trial exhibit before you hit send.
Right.
Just imagine the judge looking over your shoulder before you hit send and think, would I want this judge to be reading this? And because they probably will be, unless it's so benign that it doesn't merit, you know, have being seen again. I had a case one time where my client, I mean, both of them were kind of crazy, and they may have both been narcissists, who knows, but my client was the husband, and he was just so sick of sending temporary support payments to the wife that he sent one over and signed it with his left hand. He was right-handed, signed it with his left hand in crayon. so that it looked like a 5-year-old had signed the check just to like be a jackass. This is my own client, of course. Of course, he didn't ask me if he should do that before he did it, but of course he did it. And of course, it was like one of the centerpieces of the trial exhibits for the wife's lawyer. I mean, absolutely. I would have done the same thing. Look what a jerk he is. Look how he manipulates her. It was a wonderful trial exhibit against my client.
Oh, gosh. Right. Yes. Well, now that we're talking about things that we can use for documentation, Rebecca, let's ask, or I'd like to ask, what should we be focusing on? And also, why we should not be trying to prove that we're dealing with a narcissist? Because let's be honest here, being a narcissist isn't against the law. So that's why we have to prove they're doing things that break the law or are looking kind of shady and sketchy. So what should we be focusing on?
So I'm going to tell you something that the very first lawyer that I clerked for in law school told me, and it was really good advice. And what she told me was, Rebecca, always start with the statute. So, you know, the statute is the law. So if you're looking at, you know, just go focus back on what it is that you want to get. Is it child support? Is it parenting plan? Is it alimony? Is it equitable distribution or a division of community property, depending on what state you're in? Every single one of those areas of the law, so it's the four main areas. It's going to be a property division, some kind of alimony or support, if there's a claim for that, parenting plan, and child support. Those are the four main areas of every single case. And attorney's fees is sort of what I call like an additional kind of area. But the four core areas in family law are those four areas. Every single one of those areas has a statute. So what you want to do is take a look at the statute for your state, for that area. And that's where you want to prove. That's what you want to show. And so, and there's always also an overlay of credibility, bias, things like that, so that you can take away from the person's credibility because you can show that they're a liar. So that if they're testifying to something that the judge might go, you know, I tend less to believe that person. I'm going to tend to believe you more because you've just proved that this person is a liar. So, but, you know, being a narcissist, as you said, is not against the law. But when you look at best interests of the child, for example, every state has a best interest statute, and every state has factors in that best interest statute. So, you know, in Florida, there's 18 factors. I mean, there's a lot. I think in California, there might be 10. But, you know, it's every single state has something like, you know, which parent is going to be more likely to foster a relationship between the other parent and the child? Which parent, you know, is there a domestic violence issue? Is there, you know, they look at all of the different factors for that child, what's going to be best for that child. And so what you want to do is put together your evidence and your documentation in a way that supports each factor. So if the person doesn't take their parenting time on a regular basis or changes it a lot, which is something you see a lot with narcissists, frankly.
Yes.
You know, and the best thing you can do, I know a lot of people don't want to do this, but one of the best things you can do is enter into a temporary parenting plan early on, like right when the divorce starts, that gives them parenting time, because they will hang themselves. They won't take it. They will end up switching it all the time. They're going to be late constantly. They're going to be wanting to switch weekends or showing up on, you know, different days or whatever. And you're going to be documenting all of that. And so you're going to be able to go at the end, you know, whether it's trial or mediation, and have all this documentation that says, you know, the other person changed their parenting time, you know, out of 20 different times that they were supposed to have the kid, they changed it 15. And you're going to say, and this happened while the case was pending. What are they going to do when people aren't looking at them? So obviously their work schedule isn't conducive to this parenting schedule or whatever.
So let's say that a narcissist is doing that constantly, like either forfeiting their parenting time or wanting to change at the last minute and things like that. What should the parent who is trying to get primary custody do? Should they agree to that? Because will that come back to hurt them later? I mean, I can just see an opposing attorney saying, well, you did this. I don't see why it was a problem if you agreed to it. So is there a balance there? How should someone handle that?
Well, if there is a temporary agreement in place, the first thing you want to make sure that there's language in there that says this is a temporary agreement and it's without prejudice and it should not be used as a basis for the permanent parenting plan, and it should not be evidence of what's in the best interest of the child, and, you know, just put all that kind of language in there so that the court cannot go, well, you've been doing this, let's just keep doing this. So that's the first thing you want to make sure is in there. And usually narcissists don't mind people doing that because they think that they're, the thing about narcissists is they always think that they're the better parent, and they're like in this fantasy land. You know, a lot of times they're the ones pushing for a parenting evaluation or a custody evaluation, and they're the crappier parent. They think that they're going to use it to against the other one. I have a case like that right now, actually, where I'm representing the husband. The wife is definitely crazy, and she's pushing for a custody evaluation. And my client's like, it's gonna go back on her. She's gonna be the one ending up crazy. And, you know, he was opposing it just because he didn't want to put the kids through that. But on the other hand, he's like, this is not going to bode well for her. But this is what narcissists do a lot of the time, you know?
They do. So, and I always encourage people not to get too upset when that happens. I mean, yes, you're going to be emotional. You're going to be in that sort of panic mode. But unless the other person has proof that you're an unfit parent, what do you really have to be afraid of? What can they possibly show in court that's going to prove that you're an unfit parent? So that's another reason to be careful in your communications and not be going out to clubs and doing things like that that could look, you know, bad on you. What's your...
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I have another case right now where the husband is a total narcissist. I'm representing the wife. And, you know, he's always doing and saying things to inflame her. I mean, luckily, they have a baby. And luckily, we entered into a parenting plan prior to the baby, just prior to the baby being born. Like, he, you know, lovely guy that he is. He filed for divorce when she was 8 months pregnant. So we ended up doing a parenting plan, like, 10 days before she delivered the baby. And so she doesn't, he agreed to no overnights right now. And so, but he also agreed to do all the parenting time at her house. So he comes over every single time. And I mean, it's great in one way because she can, you know, oversee what's going on. But every time he shows up, he's got a tripod, a video camera, you know, saying that he's watching her because she's going to try to frame him. And
is
all
that
this
legal?
Stupid... Well, he can't play it. He can't do anything with it. But she can't stop him from, you know, he says he just wants video of the baby. And so what's she going to say? No, you can't have video of the baby. I mean, he's just, you know, he's even like when he's changing the baby's diaper, video cameras on. I mean, it's so stupid, But she's been great about like, okay, if that's what you want to do, you know, I mean, it bugs the crap out of her, of course, but that's what he wants. That's right. What he wants, you know, and he'll just do all kinds of stuff to try to inflame her. You know, they have to communicate through an app and a co-parenting app. That's something else that we got into the original temporary agreement. And, you know, he'll even say things like, send a message through the app. Oh, thanks for agreeing to switch our weekends and letting me have the baby next weekend for my sister's wedding or something. Well, of course, that conversation never took place. And he says that in the app like it's a confirmation. And so then she's like freaking out, like, I never had this conversation. Now I'm going to look bad. Now I'm looking like this gaslighting. And I said, you're just going to write back in the app. As you know, all conversations are supposed to take place in the app. And I never agreed to that. You never asked me that.
Right.
So please stop trying to make it look like I'm, you know, going back on my word. We did not have that conversation. You know, I mean, you just have to correct those things. But you know, I always say to people, just the facts, ma'am. You know, like that old show.
Yeah.
You just respond directly to the fact, no emotion, no right. additional oversharing, no defending, no justifying your behavior. You don't need to go into all of that.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.